The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 32. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on January 2nd, 2010, in Wellington, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 32. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Prajopadravam alakshya lokyavati karanchatam matancha vasudevasya sanjahar arjanodvayam. Translation in purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus seeing the disturbance of the general populace and the imminent destruction of the planets, Arjuna at once retracted both Brahmastra weapons as Lord Sri Krishna desired.
Prabhupada.
The theory that the modern atomic bomb explosions can annihilate the world is childish imagination. First of all, the atomic energy is not powerful enough to destroy the world. And secondly, ultimately it all rests on the supreme will of the Supreme Lord. Because without His will or sanction, nothing can be built up or destroyed. It is foolish also to think that natural laws are ultimately powerful. Material nature's laws work under the direction of the Lord as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says there, that natural laws work under His supervision. The world can be destroyed only by the will of the Lord and not by the whims of tiny politicians. Lord Sri Krishna desired the weapons released by both Droni and Arjuna be withdrawn, and it was carried out by Arjuna at once. Similarly, there are many agents of the all-powerful Lord, and by His will only can one execute what He desires.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakonvitamscha.
So there is a great fear nowadays that the world is coming to an end. In fact, they have a movie out. It's big box office hit, 2012. that soon everything will be finished. It's like they're very scared. Oh, this is global warming. The whole nature will be thrown off. Everything will be destroyed. They're very fearful. They're thinking that by reducing the CO2 carbon dioxide emissions, that they will solve the problem. They have big, big summits of the politicians, big, big talks that we have to reduce these emissions. But in spite of all of their emission commissions, they are missing out. What is missing in all of their emission commissions is the will of the Supreme. We are polluting the world from our consciousness. That's where it begins. The first thing is that subtle platform of the mind. When the mind is polluted, then naturally, pollution filters down to the gross platform. That is a natural thing. So, if they really want to be successful in the mission of their emission commissions, they should adopt this Krishna consciousness process. Because this process purifies the mind. It cleanses the dust from the mirror of the mind. Chaita darpanam arjanam bhava mahandavagni nirvapanam. By cleansing the mind, then naturally the speech becomes purified, the activities become purified, everything becomes purified. They're trying to bring about a material solution. But all that happens is they create more problems. More problems. Just like somebody may have a wall-to-wall carpet installed in their living room. And after the installers leave, they look and they say, oh no, there's a bubble in the carpet. Oh my goodness. You see. So you push down, let's just push down and get rid of that bubble. Then it comes up somewhere else. You see. So they solve one problem, they push down here, but then another problem comes up somewhere else, just like the bubble in the carpet. Because they're coming in from the wrong platform. They're approaching it from the material platform. There is no solution. The material platform itself is the problem, you see. In other words, if you want to cure the disease, then find out what is the cause of the disease. Why are you simply treating the symptoms? Can you cure a disease simply by treating the symptoms? No. You may feel some temporary relief. Oh, we relieve this symptom. We are great scientists. But until you can actually address the thing at the root, the problems will continue. That's a fact. Any gardener knows if you chop off the weeds at the top, the surface, they will come back very quickly. If you want to be successful in actually weeding that garden, pull it out by the root, you understand? We have to pull it out by the root. And then the weed is, will not come back, it's gone, finished. So, if we want to solve the problems of the modern-day world society, we must penetrate to the root cause of the anxieties, the problems, the difficulties. And that is our envy of the Supreme Person. And that envy of the Supreme Person has brought us here, as we were reading last night in the Bhagavad Gita. That envy of the Supreme Person, that desire for his position, which causes us to hate him, to be envious of him. See, that is the root cause. It's a matter of developing enlightened understanding that if I can, instead of trying to steal, like Ravana, steal Sita away from Ram, if I can simply, as Hanuman, you see, bring Sita to Ram. You see, both of them dealt with Sita. Ravana was to take, his program was to take Sita away from Ram for his enjoyment. And Hanuman's program was to return Sita back to Ram. You see. So this material energy, you see, it is like compared to Sita. We try to take it for our own enjoyment, then we are on the Ravana Marga. And we will meet a fate similar to Ravana's, to be annihilated by the Lord. Mrityu sarva harascha ham, Krishna says, I am all devouring death. So the Ravana Marga will take us to death. That's all. But if we follow the Hanuman Marga, you see, follow that example of Hanumanji, and bring Sita back to Ram, engage this energy of the Lord, this material energy, our bodies, our minds, everything here, if we will engage that in the service of Ram, the service of Krishna, you see, then we'll become very much appreciated, as Hanuman was very much appreciated by Lord Ram. Krishna will very, very much appreciate our mood, and he will bring us back to his transcendental kingdom where there's no fear of global warming or terrorism or this thing or that thing. A completely safe haven. They try to create a safe haven in this material world, but there's no such thing as a safe haven in this material world. Wherever you go, death will get you. I don't care how well fortified it is. Death will get you. So if we want a true safe haven, then we must return to that transcendental kingdom. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Aloka Punaravartinarjana Mamu Pechatu Konteya Punar Janmana Vijitaya. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, all are places of what? Misery. Wherein repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, punar janmana vidyate, he never, punar na, again not, you see. Puna is again, punar na, again not, punana, in this way, not taking birth again. So, it is up to each one of us. What do we want? We want to try continuing our little game, our masquerade of being the Supreme, the center of the enjoyment. We want to continue our masquerade of trying to be the Supreme. You see? Have we learned our lesson yet? That it doesn't work? I mean, we're pretty dull-headed, really, you know, if you think about it, how dull-headed we are. For millions of lifetimes, we've been trying to be the center of enjoyment. We've been trying it in this way, and that way, and this way, and that way. Trying to be satisfied as a human, trying to be satisfied as a demigod, trying to be satisfied as an animal, a plant, an insect, a worm, a germ. We've tried 8,400,000 different ways to be happy, and you know what happened each time? We didn't make it. So we say, let's try it a different way next time. I didn't make it as an alligator, and I'll try it as a crocodile. I didn't make it as a crocodile, so now I'll be a kiwi bird, you see. In this way, trying, but then, like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. You see, trying to get it this way, trying to get it that way, so many ways, trying to get that enjoyment. Trying to smoke cigarettes, trying to enjoy women, so many things, you see. They're trying to enjoy in this way and that way, but they can never get any satisfaction. Because this is not the place for satisfaction. This is the place for misery. Is it? If you want satisfaction, you have to go to the place where there is actual satisfaction. The spiritual sky where people never die, you see. That is the place of actual satisfaction. So if we will take hint from these great Mahajanas, you see. Mahajana yena gatasya panta, we've often quoting this. It's so wonderful, shloka. That one should follow the pathway blazed by those great acharyas, those great Mahajanas. Because they will take us out of this wilderness. We were wandering in the wilderness. You were lost. You were starving. You were dying of thirst. So many problems. Dying from exposure to the elements. And then someone comes along who knows the pathway back to civilization. Would you not follow him? There you are, stranded in the wilderness. You're dying from exposure to the elements. And this person comes and says, I know the way out of here. Follow me. Will you follow him? Yes, you have no choice. Will you say, well, you know, I don't like your accent. You sound like a foreigner or, you know, I don't like the color of your, I don't like your hairstyle. I mean, maybe you had a different hairstyle. I mean, those things would not matter. You know the way out of here. Oh, thank God you've come. That's all. You know the way out. That's it. I don't like the color of your skin. Well, your skin is not the same color as mine, you know. I'm Caucasian and you're not Caucasian, so who wants to follow you? You see, not like that. You know the way out of here. Thank God you've come. Now show me the way, you see. Show me the way. Show me the way to go home. There was actually an old song like that back in the 60s. Show me the way. The blind man stood on the way and cried, show me the way, show me the way, show me the way to go home. You see. So that is our position. We are blind men. We don't know the way out of this material existence. But now someone has come, and the great Acharya has come, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and he is showing the way out of this dark place. So who is that fool who would not follow Prabhupada? Who is that fool who would not follow Srila Prabhupada? Only in complete... You have to be insane to not follow Prabhupada. Actually, anybody who doesn't follow Prabhupada is insane. They're insane. Because here we are lost in the wilderness. Prabhupada has come. He's showing us the way out of here. So anyone who thinks, well, you know, I don't like the color of his skin. I don't like his accent. I mean, he wasn't born in New Zealand. You know, so how could... I mean, it's a ridiculous thing. Material calculation. If you're dying in the wilderness and someone comes and knows the way out, you follow him. If you have any brain. If you don't, you're insane. That's it. So in this way, if we take this pathway of the great Mahajanas, which Prabhupada has escorted us, very kindly he has escorted us, say, here it is, here's the pathway, you know, take it. That is Prabhupada's kindness. So, take it. That is what these acharyas are telling us. You take this pathway now. Do not remain a fool. Do not remain a servant of your senses. Come out of this darkness. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come into the light of Krishna consciousness. This is what the acharyas are ordering us to do. So we will heed their plea and try to follow to whatever our capability is, if we try to follow, then we will be blessed to become more and more capable followers of this Krishna consciousness process. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
yesterday's class, you mentioned that through chanting, we can improve our devotional service. And at the same time, you said that we should make our chanting pure. So can
we should do what?
Make our chanting pure?
Yes, yes.
So how can we make our chanting pure? Like, we try to focus on Lord Shri Krishna, but at times our mind does divert to other thinking. So how can we
make our chanting pure?
Yeah.
It's actually... if we try to make it purer, that's the way. I mean, you can't just all of a sudden, okay, now I'm going to do pure chanting. It's not possible. I mean, it could happen, but it'd be extremely rare. The normal process is, instead of making your chanting pure, make it purer than it is now. In other words, you're inching your way back to God. To make that jump from to Shuddha Nam is not an easy thing. So just try to make your chanting purer every day. In fact, how do you make it more pure or purer? The beauty of this Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra itself can be uttered as a prayer that one could chant it purer. Or actually, we can beg for pure bhakti. We can try to chant purely the name, and the result, if we're sincerely trying to chant the pure name, then it will become purer and purer and purer and gradually reach that point of 100% purity. But my point is, my chanting is so full of offenses right now. I'm not getting the nectar I would be getting if I was chanting purely. So who do I ask for help? The name itself is Krishna. Prabhupada says, Nama Prabhu. The name itself is Krishna. So you can actually beg the holy name to empower you to purely chant the holy name. Your chanting of Hare Krishna can be taken as a prayer to ask the name to be able to purely appear on your lips and in your heart. In other words, you don't have to make some separate prayer. Although you could make a separate prayer. My dear Krishna, I want to chant your names purely. Please bless me, I can chant your names purely. And then, you know, you can stop for a minute and then continue. But one could simply just go on chanting because the prayer, Hare Krishna prayer, is begging for pure bhakti, which means pure chanting. So if you will just take, instead of a mechanical thing, say, here I am chanting mechanically, I'm not going anywhere spiritually, I'm like a hot rodder spinning his wheels, I'm not going anywhere. So let me beg the name to help me to chant the name purely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just beg the name for help. The name will help you to purely chant the name. So there's some tips for you. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes, always pray for pure bhakti. That's the key. Don't pray for, you know, material sense gratification. Always, of course, you can pray for pure bhakti in, you know, 1,008 different ways. I mean, there's unlimited ways you can pray for pure bhakti. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can chant your name purely. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can have a perfect service attitude. My dear Lord, please bless me that I only think of you 24 hours a day. You see, there's so many ways you can pray for pure bhakti. It's actually good to be your own psychologist and analyze yourself, but always be able to see where you're at spiritually. So you can specifically pray to Krishna to relieve you of those areas in which you're weak, to help you, especially in those areas in which you are weak. So you should become an expert psychologist, being able to analyze yourself very clearly, what are your strong areas and what are your weak areas, and then you can specifically pray to the Lord and ask Him to help you. But if you can't tell the difference, then just pray in general. My dear Lord, I know that I'm not pure. I know it's causing me difficulty. I know it's not pleasing to you that I have all these impurities. So I'm begging you, my dear Lord, please bless me with pure devotional service. Please save me. I don't want to be independent from you anymore. I just want to be completely absorbed in your service. So if you would sincerely pray like that, or you can say, my dear Lord, I'm so insincere, I can't even pray sincerely. You see? I can't even utter a sincere prayer. So please bless me, my Lord, that I can pray to you sincerely, you see. As one time it was said, if you can't cry to Krishna, then you should cry to be able to cry to Krishna. And if you can't cry to be able to cry to Krishna, then you should cry to cry to cry for Krishna. In this way, find some place where you can humble yourself, genuinely humble yourself, and appeal for the Lord's mercy. Because that's, you cannot achieve pure bhakti by sense control. You cannot achieve pure bhakti by studying the Vedas. You can't achieve pure bhakti by getting initiated. Pure bhakti is a gift coming down from Krishna through the Guru Parampara system. Not that you can just do some ritual, sit down in the initiation yajna, get the beads, and now I get pure bhakti. No, you have to do something from your side. You have to take that mercy which is coming down from Guru and Krishna. You have to take that mercy. It comes by mercy, not by just being a rigid sense controller like a yogi. It comes by mercy. It's a gift. One has to be humble and realize, by my own power I can never get pure bhakti. It's a gift. It's a blessing which comes from my spiritual master. It comes from the sadhus. It comes from Krishna. It's a blessing. So we have to humbly accept that blessing by submissive service and submissive inquiries. And in this way, we'll achieve the position of pure devotional service in due course of time. Anything else? Everyone's completely satisfied now. No more confusion, delusion, illusion. Everyone's happily making that transition now from Indriya Seva to Bhagavan Seva. It's happening. Everyone's having good success in making the transition from Indriya Seva to Bhagavan Seva. Yes? No problems? Everything's going as planned. No bumps in the road. Smooth superhighway. Any other question? Yes.
This may sound a bit silly, but can I ask you how often does a soul go back to Godhead?
How does?
How often?
They're actually... How often do souls go back to Godhead? That's a very interesting question. I've been asked many questions. I've never been asked that one before. I appreciate that question because it's a very new and unique question. Of course, the old questions are also good, but this one's really an amazing question. First of all, there's an infinite number of universes in this material existence. In other words, since there's an infinite number of living entities and there's preaching going on in every universe, you see, Krishna doesn't, he goes to every universe. He goes universe hopping, you see. So since there's an infinite number of universes and there's an infinite number of, manifestations of Krishna in these different infinite universes, then actually that means there's a living entity going back to Godhead at every second. There's a constant flow of living entities going back to home, back to Godhead. And there's also a constant flow in the opposite direction, too. It's like at the airport, people coming, people going, you see. So there's people coming and going. But once they come here and they see what it's like, they check it out, see. Let me check out what being independent of Krishna. Once they come here and they check it out and they see what a raw deal it is and they go back to God, they won't fall again. Krishna says they don't fall again. You see. Everyone here in this material world is a newbie. This is their first time to try being independent of Krishna. No one makes that mistake twice. Although one could, but no one will. They could, but they don't. Because once you, a curious child, he may stick his hand in the fire. The parent said, "My dear boy, be very careful in the kitchen. This fire is dangerous. Whatever you do, don't stick your hand in it." So most of the children, they go, "Mother and father have told, so I must obey." But one child is a little naughty. He thinks that maybe there's some forbidden enjoyment there that I can, you know. When the parents are not around, he tries it. He sticks his hand in there. And he gets a good burn, you see. But never again will he stick his hand in the fire. So we stuck our hand in the fire, and here we are trying to recover from the burn now, you see. So anyone who goes back, they will not fall again in material existence. So somehow or other, if we just got to get back, to where we once belonged in the pastimes of Krishna. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Krishna, got to get back home. Any other questions? Yeah.
Maharaj, so just continuing from this question, so it means that the number of souls are not constant, right? The number of souls is also
infinite. Why is there an infinite? There's not like a fixed population. Because Krishna has an infinite, an unlimited desire to enjoy loving rasa with his devotees, you see. Bhakta ras. He wants the ras of... In other words, you must get snow here in Wellington, don't you? Snow? Yes. So... each snowflake has, if you looked at the snowflakes under the microscope, when I was in elementary school, we were taught this, that every snowflake has a unique pattern. There's no two snowflakes, even though there's millions and billions, how many snowflakes are there? But there's no two snowflakes that are the same. Every snowflake has its own unique beauty, you see. So Krishna, he has an unlimited desire to enjoy loving rasa with his devotees. So he expands from himself an infinite number of living entities. And each one, like those snowflakes, each one of them is unique. There are no two snowflakes that are the same. There are no two jivas that are the same. There's an infinite number of jivas, and each one of them has a different type of personality. And that gives, just like you say, okay, here you're having a big feast tonight. Come to the temple. The big feast. You go, wow, that's great. You're all excited about the big feast. And you come in here and there's a big pot of halava. See, I thought it was a feast. Well, there is. We have a big feast. It's a huge mound of halava. You can eat, you know, this much if you want. It's a big feast. Now, we would feel disappointed because feast means variety, you see. Just like when I remember I was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the Toka back in, 82, his Vyas Puja. They cooked him 1,008 preparations. Wow. Now that's a feast. 1,008 preparations. You see, the more there is variety, the more there is enjoyment. So, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And therefore, to enjoy an infinite number of loving relationships, he creates an infinite number of living entities. So that when did he do this? And what was it like before he did this? Actually, Krishna is eternally emanating an infinite number of living entities from himself. Because Bhagavad Gita says, Nate vahang jatu nasang natang neme janadipa na jayvanama vishama sarvevayamatahapadam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So that means Krishna is eternally emanating from himself an infinite number of living entities, just like snowflakes who have unique qualities and characteristics. So that means if you are denying Krishna a certain type of rasa or flavor or taste that he's not getting because you're here in the material existence. You're depriving Krishna of a certain taste that he wants to have, namely loving relationship with you. So stop denying Krishna your love. Give your love to Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. Give your love to Krishna. Don't give it to the senses. Don't give it to the dog, the cat, the monkey. Give your love to Krishna. You see. And then your love becomes perfect. When you give your love to Krishna, then automatically your love goes everywhere, to everything, to everyone. Universal love is achieved only by giving our love to Krishna. Only by watering the root of the tree will you water all the leaves and branches. Only by giving your love to Krishna will you be able to love anyone, even yourself. So anyway, any other questions? Everyone satisfied? Yes? Go ahead. They don't. Once you go back, you don't come again. Right. You could, because the free will is always there, but once burned, twice shy. See, the first time you may get burned, but the second time, no, I'm not going to. So, they will only fall once, and then go. Of course, not everyone falls. It's actually only a small fraction that are falling. I mean, because who would want to give up being in Krishna's pastimes? It's very rare that someone would want to do it. Someone would foolishly think, let me try something different. Let me try being the Lord. That's very rare that someone would do that. But if you take even the smallest, most infinitesimal fraction of an infinite number of living entities, how many is that? Infinite. Mathematically, the largest number is infinity, and the smallest number is 1 over infinity. So if you apply 1 over infinity against infinity, take the smallest possible fraction of an infinite number of living entities, that's infinity. So there's an infinite number of living entities who've fallen down, even though it's only a small fraction of the infinity of living entities in the spiritual sky. If it's confusing, well, don't worry about it. Just go back to Godhead and everything will make sense. It'll all make sense. Anything else? Everybody's ready now? Okay.
Serve their senses as opposed to serving Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? But when the soul is in the spiritual kingdom, he doesn't have those senses. So how does he get that tendency to serve his senses? Because there are many...
Actually, the spiritual world, we have senses. Just as we have form here, this form is a replica of our form in the spiritual world. We have eyes, ears, nose, tongue, everything in the spiritual world. It's all there. It's not a senseless world. It's not the Brahma Jyoti. We have senses in the spiritual world. So if we think, well, here I am serving Krishna, but I wonder what it would be like if in serving Krishna I just serve myself. You see? The child, again, the curious child sticking his hand in the fire, thinking there might be something in there that I could enjoy. This is given in the Bible also, the forbidden apple. You see, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You can do it. You can enjoy as much as you want, but this one apple, don't eat it. Now, the apple is, I am the supreme. That's the apple. That was the forbidden apple. The Christians don't know this higher level understanding of the Garden of Eden story. But that forbidden apple is actually I am the Lord. To think that I am the Lord, the center of enjoyment. So, of course, that notion that I am the center of enjoyment does not exist in the spiritual world. So as soon as someone thinks like that, they're already here in the material existence. It's not that they think like that and they, you know, you're still in the spiritual world, but you have a disease, and they say, well, I think we've got to ship him out of here. No. As soon as you think, why can't I be the center of enjoyment? And then here you are in the material world. And not even a delay of even a nanosecond. Instantaneously, as soon as that thought appears in the mind, those thoughts can't exist in the spiritual world. So as soon as that thought comes that I want to be the center, you're already here. Welcome to the material world. Sucker. We got duped by the con man, you see. And so here we are. Now we have to learn our lesson and get back. Any other questions? Everyone's completely satisfied now. Totally enlivened to dive into the ocean of bhakti today. Ready to push forward this movement with great determination and enthusiasm. Everyone's ready. All right. Let's do it. Let's combine our energies now to try to save the world. Save these people from birth and death. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.